Appreciate an interest in your continued interest in your prayers as we come before you this morning. My mind really here a lot this week has been thinking about just how we should be living, how we should be standing for the truth, how we should be responding to this situation that we find ourselves faced with. Well, the answer to that is the same as we always should. Whether there's a COVID-19 or not, there's a way which the Lord has given us to walk before Him, to honor Him, to serve Him, to be joyful in our day because of the great blessings we already have. That hasn't changed, has it? And this message, I'm sure, has... we've probably preached it a number of different ways, but I want to begin this morning, and this is really not so much the subject, but I want to give you some background here in approaching our subject this morning that you'll find over in the book of Daniel in chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10. Daniel was burdened with his sins, and he fasted for 21 days, 3 weeks. And at the end of that fast, an angel, perhaps the Lord, but at least an angel, comes to him. I'm going to say an angel. And in Daniel chapter 10, the vision that Daniel is given is very similar to what John saw on the Isle of Patmos. And so beginning in verse 9. I know there's a paragraph marker in my Bible at verse 10, but I'm going to get to verse 9. He says, "Yet I heard the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words." Now, here's what I want you to notice. "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. How long had Daniel been fasting? 3 weeks. And this prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. I think that's about the same amount of time, isn't it? "But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days." Now, what I want you to get from that I just read is that here was an angel that was sent to speak to Daniel. But he had been, I'm going to use the word, detained, delayed, whatever the case was, it was 1 and 20 days that he was withstood before he came to Daniel. What I want you to see in that There are things, obviously, that the Lord is doing and working on behalf of his people we don't see. We may at some time feel like that the Lord has answered our prayer. And maybe it was something we just prayed a day or two before that. But the answer came in such a way that the Lord had been working on it for some time. So there's just such a multifaceted involvement as God works in the lives of his people, all the things going on in your individual life, all the things going on in somebody else's individual life. I'm not saying that God is working all things for good to them that love him. You know, I'm not saying that he's orchestrating everything and making everything happen. I'm just saying that the way God intervenes and works among his people, I mean, it's mind-boggling that he would be able to bless, but he does, all of his people at all times with the things that they stand in need of. Not only that, but there's a lot of evil that's working in this world that we don't know anything about. We may get some inkling from time to time of some things that are happening, but we don't know all of it and the scope of it. We don't know those things. But God does. And nothing hinders him from working his will and blessing his people and providing the things that they need. Nothing hinders our God. And it's just mind-boggling to think of all the things that are going on in the world, both the things that God's people are trying to do and the way God is blessing and helping God's people, and all the evil that's going on in this world. You know, the devil is spoken of as the prince of the power of the air. And he does have power. And he does have influence. And you're no match for him. Now, he's no problem for God, but you're no match for the devil. We need, you know, he is our adversary. And he goeth fro seeking whom he may devour. We don't want to get close to him. We want to stay as far from him as we can. But he bothers us all the time. All right? So there's so many things that are beyond our understanding as far as evil forces at work in this world. The devil hasn't stopped trying to get people to worship him. The devil hasn't stopped tempting and trying to distract God's people. And even there's times when something we might perceive as a blessing could end up coming between us and the kind of service that we need to be rendering to our Lord. So we have to be careful. You know, Satan is more subtle than all the beasts. And we have to be wary. We have to be careful. Now, with that in mind, that there's all kinds of evil going on in this world that we don't know anything about. And this little passage that I just read out of Daniel chapter 10 just gives us an inkling of how God sends his angels at times to intervene in the affairs of men. Don't you know he's doing that all the time? Don't you know he's sometimes helping, sometimes intervening, sometimes whatever, for the benefit of his people? And while we may be curious about what a lot of that is, we need to be content with what God has told us in his word and to rest assured that he is able and he is watching over us at all times. Because I'll tell you something, I've heard some conversations this past week, and And if you listen to much of the stuff that's going on all around us right now, it's just mind-boggling. And so we don't need to do that, do we? What we need to do is focus on serving the Lord. Like we said earlier, how we should stand, how we should take our stand as Christians is no different than if there were no virus whatsoever. We ought to be doing the same thing every day. But since we are having some challenges, and since we are seeing more hindrances to Christians than we've had in the past, I think it requires us to be extra vigilant. I think it should require us to realize that there's so much more that we need to pay attention to in our life, in our day. All right? So Daniel gave us an inkling of the fact that there were angels that were sent to him to deliver a message, and that angel said that he had been withstood for about 3 weeks. Now, I'm not going to say that angel was hindered from delivering the message to Daniel and was late getting it there. I'm not going to say that, because there's all kinds of other things involved here. And I'm sure that message was right on time, because Daniel was fasting for 3 weeks. And the angel said that as soon as he began to afflict himself, the Lord heard him. But it wasn't until the end of his fast that the angel was sent to him with all that we're facing, and with the realization that there are things in this world that would work against us, but God helps us, God protects us, God defends us. But you know, the devil would just love to devour us, wouldn't he? So we're thankful for his help. So in view of that then, how do we stand as Christians? And my emphasis this morning is as Christians, as followers of Christ, as lovers of God. Because you see, there's a host of people in this world who have not the love of God in them. And the reason we have it is not because we're so good, it's because of God's grace. God has had mercy upon us and has blessed us with his love in our hearts. So in view of what's going on in this world, and in view of the grace that's been bestowed upon us, how are we standing as Christians? Are we fearful and hiding? Or are we standing tall and trusting God? How is it with us? You know, like I said, Christianity's been on the, there's been an assault on Christianity all down through the years, but it just seems like there's a particular slant to what's being done today to hinder us and to change that normal to what you keep hearing about the new normal. They don't want you to think about what you've been doing. They want you to think about what you're going to have to do now. I like what we used to do. I want to keep doing that. I want to be faithful to God. I want to serve him as he would tell us to serve him, and not as man would allow us to serve him. That's my point this morning. Are we going to serve God first and foremost as we face the challenges that are being put upon us? Now, I realize that we have to balance that with living with all men, be at peace with all men as much as possible, and that we should live a quiet and peaceable life among them. We should obey magistrates when they don't violate the word of God. Okay? So there's some balance there, but what I'm saying is don't let it stifle our zeal in serving the Lord. There's so much that could distract us right now. There's so much that's always been around to distract us. But bless your hearts, this word hasn't changed. We need to be faithful to the Lord in all that we do, whatever we're having to face, because our service to God hasn't changed one bit, the way we're to serve Him. And so there's some things that we need to remember. We need to remember there's a kingdom of God here in the midst of this kingdom of men. And we're, let's use the word envoys. We're ambassadors. If we have the love of God in our hearts, if God has blessed us to know Him and to love Him and to know what He's done for us, then bless your hearts, we need to go forth in such a way that brings honor and glory to His name as Christians, because bless your hearts, He's the one that called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. He's the one that's blessed us with His Spirit. He's the one that has blessed us with all that we have and all that we ever hope to have. And so we need to remember that this kingdom, we have the kingdom of God in the midst of the kingdom of men. And we represent Him. If we've taken the name of Christ upon ourselves, then we represent Him in this world. The world's not going to do that. You know, not that the multitude of people that don't have the love of God in their hearts, they are not going to honor God. That's our privilege. And it's our duty. So how are we doing? Are we honoring the Lord in the way we're facing this situation right now? Are we continuing to serve Him like we should? Are we remembering those things that we need to remember so that we can be faithful to Him? That's my concern. That's my burden this morning. To remind you, I'm not saying you're not. I'm just saying we need to be reminded, we need to be encouraged to continue serving Him as we should, no matter what we're facing. Okay, here's an opportunity in these challenges to shine brighter. Here's an opportunity to show forth our faithfulness. Here's an opportunity for us to show forth our love for God and to do what God would have us to do instead of what men ask us to do, or sometimes tell us to do. All right? So, the kingdom of God. You know, Jesus gave us a good model to practice on a daily basis to help us to keep that mentality in mind. Did He not give us part of the model prayer that says, "Thine is the kingdom"? Aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad that He didn't leave this kingdom, the kingdom of God, He didn't leave that in the control of men? Now, He calls men to preach His word, and He calls men to pastor churches and so forth like that. But what I'm saying is there's kingdoms in this world, and there's men that rule those kingdoms, but they're not godly. And I'm thankful that we have the kingdom of God, and we have the righteousness of Christ in us, and we have His word, His righteous word, to guide us in the way that we should live in this world to show forth His praises. This kingdom, and we represent that kingdom in this world. And while the worldlings are not going to honor Him in it, it's our privilege and our opportunity and our duty to represent God as we go through our life. That we're proudly Christians. You know, there are other religions, in this world today. And there's a lot of people that are flocking to those other religions. And it seems like some of those other religions are having a tremendous amount of influence in the world. And there are times when we hear people attacking Christianity. How does that make us feel? How does that make us feel when we hear others attacking Christianity? You know, I guess the favorite word that the world loves to use is hypocrites. You know, these people say one thing, but they live another way. We ought to be living in such a way that we promote the kingdom of God. That we have a good influence in the world. So when others see our good works, they can glorify God in heaven. It's our opportunity. We've got a lot of A lot of things pressing on us as Christians today. But my point in this is that God is on his throne. Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. For thou hast set thy glory above the heavens. I'm glad he didn't set his throne on this earth. His throne is in the heavens, and his glory is above the heavens. That's our God. He is able to do his will. None can hinder him. None can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Nebuchadnezzar found that out, didn't he? Our God is sovereign. He's able to do his will for whom he will, when he will, whatever he wills. He's able to do that. That's our God. Our God loved us so much that he sent his son to this world to suffer and die to save us from our sins. Do you know how he saved us? Yes, Jesus had to suffer. Yes, Jesus had to shed his precious blood. But bless your hearts, it was out of love that God had for us that he sent his son to this world. Isn't that what John 3:16 says? For God so loved the world that he gave. And that's the world of his people now. He gave. He didn't offer. Jesus is not offered to the sinner. Jesus offered himself to the Father for the payment of the sins of all that he came to save. Well, as we think about the love. You see, God could have just crushed all the evil ones in this world. He could have done that. But he chose to show us a better way by loving us so much that he gave of himself to die for our sins. By love. Not by war. Not by cruelty. By love. And bless your hearts, he has all power. He could have done anything he wanted to, but this was the right way. This was the good way. This was the way of love and mercy and grace that he gave us through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so our God is sovereign. Our God rules over all. And bless your hearts, we can rejoice that he's blessed us to know him, the one true and living God, and Jesus Christ, his son, whom he sent to save us from our sins. And so we find there's this kingdom of God that he's blessed us with in this world, and he's blessed us to know the king. Now we also need to remember who we are in this kingdom. Who are we? We're the child. We're children of the king. Don't you know the king is going to take care of his children? Don't you know that the king is going to provide for his children? Don't you know that the king loves his children? And he loves us better than any kind of love that we've ever known about. He loves us. He watches over us. He protects us. He's able to supply our needs. And so, yes, we're in this kingdom and we're children of the king. But I want to quickly look at a couple of passages in Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Paul says that when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. Then what I want to get to is this next phrase. So to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you're sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Our Father. By the grace of God, we're able to claim relationship with the King of Kings, with God the Father. Bless your hearts. As we think about So he sent the Spirit of his Son to our hearts, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now go to Romans 8. He has a very similar passage that he, Romans 8, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We're children of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That's what he told the Galatian brethren, didn't he? He says the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And in both passages, he goes on to speak about how that we are heirs of God in this world. Bless your hearts, think about the fact that we're in this kingdom. God is our Father. We're his child. And all the blessings that we have by the grace of God. You know, he loves us. He's keeping us by his power. We'll never be able, nothing can ever separate us from him. Glory awaits us, and we're heirs of salvation. I just threw out a few things. There's all the blessings that we have by the grace of God. So while we're living in this world and the frustrations that may be happening in our day and the challenges, bless your hearts, let's shine brightly. Being the children of God, he tells us in Matthew 5, let your light so shine before men. Now, he said, so shine. And just ahead of that, he said, you know, a light, a city that's set upon a hill cannot be hid. And he says, you know, no man lighteth a candle and putteth under a bushel, but he puts it on a candlestick so that all that are in the house can receive the light of it. And so he says, let your light so shine before men that others may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think about that. That's what we should be doing every day as we go about our duties, as we go about the whatever we have to do each day. We have the opportunity to represent our God and walk in this kingdom, even though it's here among the kingdoms of men. We need to be different. We need to be separate from the world. Now, we have to make our way. We have to go to our jobs. We have to do the things that we do. But we can do it with a godly attitude. We can do it with a thankful heart. We can do it with a merciful spirit. We can do it with a loving spirit. All of those things that God tells us of how we should live our lives, we need to represent that throughout our day, letting our light shine. In that passage in Matthew chapter 5, he later talks about how that you're the salt of the earth. Salt has an influence. You know, you taste some food that's not been salted, that needs to be salted, and it's not very tasteful, is it? All right, but that seasoning influence of salt makes it received better. All right? Salt is also a preserver. You know, what if every one of God's children did a better job of walking according to righteousness, living according to righteousness, making choices according to righteousness? Do you think that would have some impact upon our culture? I think it could. But if nothing else, it'll bring more glory to God. And bless your hearts, when we're walking closer to the Lord, he's manifesting himself more to us. And that'll make our life better, whether it changes the world or not. We're not going to, you know, we're always going to have these challenges. We are going to have those that don't love the Lord and not going to walk according to righteousness. But I'm not concerned about them. You know, I pray for those in the sense that God would open their eyes, he would touch their hearts if it please him. But I'm concerned about God's people letting their light shine. I'm concerned about God's people having a good influence in this world. That's what we need to do. If we leave that off, who's going to do it? If we leave that off, who's going to bring glory to God? If we leave it off, if we shy away from it, if we adopt worldly standards, where will the glory come from to our God? It's our privilege to be a part of that. It's our privilege to be faithful to Him. It would also help us to remember God's mercy that He gives us every day. You know, we were lost and separated from God. Man, you know, Adam was given one commandment. And Romans 5:12 tells us that wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death hath passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That's where we were in Adam. And we manifest that in this natural man that we carry around with us, that we are. But God had mercy upon us. Ephesians chapter 2 speaks about how that in you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. If God had not quickened us by His grace, that's where we would have remained, dead in trespasses and sins. And being dead in trespasses and sins without the blood of Christ to redeem us from our sins, then hell would be our doom. But every day we need to remember, thank You, Lord, for Your mercy and Your grace. Ephesians 2 continues. It says, and he speaks about how that He quickened us who were dead in trespasses and sins. And then he goes on talking about how that the man by nature conducts himself. But then verse 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. We need to remember every day we live the mercy and grace of God that gave us life, that planted His love within us, that blesses us to know Him, the one true and living God. And I'll tell you, I asked the question a while ago, how does it make you feel when somebody criticizes Christianity? It makes me mad. Now, I hope that's righteous indignation. But it makes me mad because I'm blessed to know there's only one true and living God. Jesus Himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. Right? And while there's been many religious leaders of other religions in the world, there's only one that came to this world, suffered and died, and rose again just like He said He would, and ascended back to heaven to be seated at the right hand of the one true and living God. Bless your hearts, there's only one true and living God, only one begotten of the Father, who the Father sent into this world to save us from our sins. Other religions are just the imaginations of the thoughts of men. There's only one Savior. His name is Jesus. Do you know Him? If you do, it's because He's had mercy upon you and blessed you with His Spirit, blessed you with life, blessed you with ears to hear, a heart that's convicted of sin, but ears to hear the good news of the gospel that Jesus came into this world to save sinners. And He did that. Remember, every day, the mercy of God. We need to be thankful for our blessings and to trust God. You know, it's one thing to believe in God. It's another to believe God. There's a lot of people that will say they believe in God, but when it comes right down to it, they're not really trusting God. Will God do what He says He will do? Every time. Every time. You can go through the Old Testament. There's several places where it talks about there's not one thing that all of the things that God has promised has failed. They've all come to pass. And I'm telling you, that's the same is true in the New Testament, that not one thing that God has promised has ever failed. Bless your hearts. We need to remember the blessings of God, be thankful for them, and trust Him each day for the things that we stand in need of. There's no reason for us to be fearful and hiding in this world. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7 says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He's given us the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And the power is not your own. It's His power. Bless your hearts. He is able to take care of us. And because He loves us so much, He will take care of us. So there's no reason for us to be fearful and hiding. We need to be having the armor on and standing tall and faithful to God. Standing and having done all to stand, as Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6. All right, so remember those blessings that He's given us. Colossians chapter 3 verse 15. If we're living in that way, if we're walking close to the Lord, if we're remembering His word and trusting in the things that He's promised. Listen to what Paul said to the brethren at Colossae. Mindful of the fact that God has blessed us with so much. And let me say it this way. God gave us His best. Did He not? He gave us His best. He gave us of Himself. Jesus came down from heaven, not to do His own will, but the will of the Father which sent Him. And of all that Thou hast given Him, He should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. That's what God has given us. His best. So that, to me, begs the question, doesn't He deserve the best from us? Doesn't He deserve our best effort? When the Old Testament patriarchs and the worshipers were to bring a sacrifice, they were to bring up the best that they had. As a matter of fact, Malachi talks about those that brought the lame and the halt and leftovers. What are we bringing to God in worship? What are we giving to God? Whatever form of giving we're talking about, whether it's your time, your money, whatever it might be. What are we giving to God? Are we giving Him the best we can? He gave us the best. Now, I know you can't match God, but it should encourage us to do what we can in out of thanksgiving and gratitude for all that He's done for us. So in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. When we're walking close to the Lord, when we're feeling that peace with Him, let that peace rule in your hearts. That word rule there means like an umpire. You know, when we do something that's not quite right and we feel conviction of it, that's the Spirit of God convicting us and acting like an umpire, calling attention to it. God's given us that in us to help us to stay close to Him. He didn't give it to us just to make us feel bad. It's to help us stay close to Him and walk in the good and right way. To know Him, to understand His word and all the blessings of the benefits of the Spirit within us. So He said, let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which ye also called in one body, and be ye thankful. Here's another indication by Him saying that ye are called, by the which ye are called in one body. That gives us the idea of what togetherness, as the people of God, as the children of God, we're together in Him. Right now, everybody wants us to be separate. Everybody wants us to maintain distance between us. That just goes against the grain of what the Spirit called us into this world to do, is to be close to one another. I realize there's, you know, there's sanitary measures and, you know, we can have some common sense about these things. I'm just saying, the Lord came to this world to save us and to reconcile us to the Father and bring us close together. We're one body in Him. Remember that each day. Be thankful for that. Bless His holy name for that. Be thankful for that. Another thing we need to remember. If you've noticed, I'm telling you to remember some things. Remember this. Remember this. Remember this. You see what we're saying? We got to be thinking about what God has given us, what God has told us, what God instructs us to do. We need to be thinking about it and putting it into practice and staying close to Him in the midst of all of the things that we're facing in our day. And so, to remember, we need to remember God and His Word more than anything else. More than anything else. I don't care how rich a person is. I don't care how wise a person is. I don't care how healthy a person is. We need the Lord every day, don't we?
Yes.
Every day. We need Him. We're so prone to get lifted up in our pride. We're so prone to think that we can go about our day and not think about the Lord. We need the Lord. And the things that we're facing right now should be bringing us back closer to Him and reminding us of how much we need the Lord. Remember in Jeremiah chapter 9? I couldn't quote it, so I've turned to it. Jeremiah chapter 9, I'm beginning verse 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches. You know, it's easy for that to interfere with our feeling the need of the Lord, right? He says, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. When a person is born of the Spirit of God, when they've been given His Spirit, when they've been given an ear to hear and eyes to see the kingdom of God, then we need His Word to grow in our understanding. And this Word has been given to us to teach us who God is, what He is, what He's done for us. The more we grow in that, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Let him glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. Do you know the Lord this morning? It's because he's had mercy upon you, given you his Spirit. It's because you had been chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. And here in time, he sends his Spirit into our hearts, enabling us to cry, Abba, Father, letting us know that we're his child. If you have that desire to call upon God as your Father, you were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. I've never heard anybody say, I wish God hadn't chosen me. I've heard plenty of people thank God for his mercy and his grace. Glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. If we know him, it's by his grace. But Peter admonished us in the last of his second epistle, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How do we do that? This Word. This Word is how God speaks to us today. It's his revealed will. It's what he's told us. It's a thorough furnisher unto all good works. Let's glory in that. That we understand and knoweth him. It teaches us about God. It teaches us how we can walk with God. It teaches us what pleases God. It teaches us what does not please God. So as we think about all that he's done for us, we need to remember that we need him above everything else. Now, let's pause right. You know that, don't you? It's not nothing new. But I want to remind you, so did Ephesus. They knew that. But what happened? They left their first love. With the powerful preaching of the pastors that the church at Ephesus had, they left their first love. Don't tell me you don't need that lesson today. That we need God more than anything else. We have a lot of examples in Scripture where those who knew God, who loved God, but they got distracted and they didn't remember him and trust him like they should. Ephesus lost their first love. They left their first love. And the Lord sent a message to them. Repent. Remember from whence thou art fallen and repent and do thy first works. Get back to what we were doing when we first came to a knowledge of the truth. Get back to what we were doing when we were walking close with the Lord and honoring him with the things that we loved and the things that we did. The first works. That which is first and foremost in serving God. He says, or else, I'll remove thy candlestick. Ephesus left their first love. Laodicea, the last of the seven churches that were addressed in the book of Revelation. How about Laodicea? Were they God's people? Well, sure they were. The Lord addressed them as his church. But what happened? They got into an attitude that I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Do you know how I know that they felt that way? Because Jesus said it. He said, for thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. That's, for a child of God, that's a dangerous place to be. How much glory are they giving to God if they feel like in themselves they're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing? That means they don't need the Lord. You ever got to that place where you felt like things were going good? Lord, I don't need you today. I can handle it. You wouldn't say those words, but our actions oftentimes would say it. We need the Lord and his word more than anything else in this world. How about the rich fool that scriptures speak of? The man whose fields brought forth plentifully. See, there's a common thread here, isn't there? The riches of this world can distract us. Just like the seed that fell among thorns. And the thorns choked it out, and those thorns represented the cares, the pleasures, the riches of this world. We have to be careful about that. All right? The rich fool, his fields brought forth plentifully. And he said, what shall I do? He said, I'll tear down my barns. I'll build bigger barns. And I'll say to my soul, soul, take thine ease. I'm getting ready to retire. I won't have to do nothing. Soul, take thine ease, for thou hast much goods laid up in store for many days. The Lord came to him that night and said, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall all these things be? How'd that work for him? I probably could have just referred to that story, and you knew all of what I would already said. But what's the lesson? What's the lesson in the story? Jesus finished it by saying, so is everyone that is not rich toward God. If our heart is set upon the things of this world, if all of our activities are set upon the things of this world, if all of our resources are used for the things of this world, we're not rich toward God. We need the Lord more than anything. We need His Word to instruct us more than anything. I can't emphasize that enough. We need the Lord more than anything. It will help remind us that those things that distract us in this world are just perishable things. They're not worth it. They'll lead us astray. So, if we can remember those things, if we can remember the kingdom of God, if we can remember who we are in that kingdom, the children of God, the love and the care that He has for His people, if we can remember God's mercy, if we can remember His blessings and trust Him each day, remember that we need Him more than anything. Maybe, just maybe, we can be a little better prepared. Maybe we can be a little more ready to answer people in this world. I know time's getting away. When Paul wrote to the church at Colossae, the idea of being ready. Colossians chapter 4, Paul is speaking about walking in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Those that are without, he's talking about those that are not a part of the church body, the family of faith. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Why? Because you represent Christ. You represent His church. You represent Christianity. What kind of an impact or what kind of an impression of Christianity is your life presenting to someone else? Verse 6 of Colossians 4 says, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man." Now, there's a number of situations that we need to answer somebody. All right? Just in conversation from time to time, things come up. How do you speak to them? Jesus, in John chapter 14, I believe it was Philip, wasn't it? It says, "Have I been so long time with you, Philip, and have you not known me? He that has seen me has seen the Father." What did he mean by that? He that has seen me has seen the Father. I think Philip had said, "Lord, show us the Father and it sufficeth us." And Jesus said, "He that has seen me has seen the Father." What did he mean by that? Everything Jesus said was words that the Father gave him to say. Everything Jesus did was what the Father gave him to do. Every time Jesus reacted to something, he reacted with truth. He reacted in the way that would be pleasing to the Father. When you saw what Jesus did, you were seeing a reflection of the Father. Now my question to you is, are people seeing Christ in you? In the words that you say, in the deeds that you do, in the choices that you make. When we, because we want to represent our Lord in this world in a way that's pleasing to Him, then what we say ought to be things that please Him. What we do ought to be things that please Him. So when we're in our conversation in this world, how we answer folks ought to display some of the character of the way that Jesus would answer. A good way to look at that was measure it by the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Is what we're saying seasoned by those things so that that kind of fruit is being born in our conversation. Is what we're saying promoting love, joy, peace, long-suffering? There's a lot of things that we could say that don't contain those things. Let it always be seasoned with grace. Right? Let it be with grace, seasoned with salt. We talked about salt a while ago. Having a good influence, having a good seasoning influence, having a preserving influence. Now, also, with regard to what would be the right way to answer someone, when he says that we might know how we ought to answer every man. Go to Ephesians chapter 4, very quickly. Ephesians chapter 4. How should you answer? And I'm just giving you principles to remember, because the questions that come at us, or the way that we respond to people, will be in a variety of environments, a variety of subjects, a variety of situations. But whatever we answer should be seasoned with the fruit of the Spirit, or what Paul says here in Ephesians 4. I'm again in verse 29. Let no corrupt communication. How should you answer someone? Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Seasoned with grace. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption. We grieve the Holy Spirit when we're not bearing fruit of the Spirit, when we're responding in ways that's not loving and not kind and so forth. We grieve the Holy Spirit. It's against the will of God. Verse 31, let all bitterness. How do you answer someone? Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Those are the ways that we're to answer people in this life. Remember that. Remember how we're to answer. Be ready. Sometimes folks may question about your faith. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 3:15, sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and trembling, or meekness and fear. I may have missed that word. How should we answer? Be ready to give an answer of the hope that's in you. Do you have a hope in Christ? It's by the grace of God. Do you have a hope in Christ? It's precious. It strengthens us against despair. It strengthens us against realizing that though there's a lot of things in this world we wish were different. Someday, by the grace and power of Almighty God, who we serve daily, He's going to deliver us from all the sinfulness of this world and take us home to be with Him forever. There are people that are really struggling right now in this world. There are people that don't have this precious trust that we do in the Lord. Maybe we could speak some words of comfort. Maybe we could, you know, and Paul said also in Ephesians, was speaking the truth in love. May we never be guilty of using the Word of God as a club to beat it over somebody's head, but speak it in love. But speak the truth in love. Maybe somebody needs some encouragement. Maybe somebody needs to be reminded that you understand that God is on His throne and He watches over us, and he can protect us. He can keep us. You know, even if things should change drastically in this country, I'm not a, you know, I don't have a crystal ball, neither do you. I know there's people in this country, and you ought to know by now, there's people in this country that would really like to make some radical changes in the way our government operates. And we've been blessed for so many hundreds of years to have the Constitution that we have and the framework that we have and the liberties and the blessings that we have in this nation. But there are plenty of people in high places that would like to change that and take it away from you. Well, even if that should happen, God is still able to take care of us. Look at the children of Israel when they were in Babylonian captivity. God provided for them. God blessed them. He even gave them instruction on how they should live while they were there so that when the time came for them to come back, they could resume in their homeland worshiping Him like they should. And when the time came for them to come back, He put it in the hearts of the kings of that area to even provide the materials and to bless them to go back and to resettle in Jerusalem. God is able to take care of whatever the problem is we're facing. We can't do anything about that, but we can trust Him. We can serve Him. And we can have peace and contentment in our own lives, whatever's going on around us. We can be ready by being equipped with this word and using the faith He's given us to trust Him and serve Him like we should. One more thing I want to say before we close. We need to be ready for Him. A lot of what Jesus said toward the end of the book of Matthew had reference to 70 AD when the armies would come in and destroy Jerusalem. But there's other places in the scripture that admonish us to be ready for the times that the Lord visits us from time to time with His presence and His Spirit. We also have the promise that He's coming again. It might be in the next second. Well, we missed that one, didn't we? It might be this year. Might be next year. I don't know when. We don't know, and on the authority of the Word of God, you don't know, but we know He is. He is coming. Is your heart ready to receive Him? Or is He going to take you out of this world kicking and screaming like they did Lot out of Sodom? You remember Lot in Sodom? The angels were sent down there. And they told him plainly, God's going to destroy this place. We need to leave. And it says, while he lingered. They took him out. They also told him, don't look back. Remember what Lot's wife did? She looked back. And I'm sure that was a longing look of what they were having to leave behind. Are we ready in our hearts? Do we have a pilgrim perspective, realizing that we're just here for a while? When it pleases the Lord, He's coming back to gather us up and take us home to be with Him. Now, we have every reason to enjoy this life, to enjoy one another, to enjoy our families, to enjoy our employment, to enjoy the blessings of each day. But don't ever let that be more important to us than remembering what our Lord has done for us and what we have to look forward to in heaven's pure world, where all the redeemed family of God will be together. And they ain't going to be 6 feet apart either. I don't know how it'll be, but I just thought I'd throw that out there for that thought. We're going to be together in the Lord forever. There'll be no sin, no sorrow, no frustrations, no heartaches. joy and peace. We can't fathom that, can we? This life is certainly not like that. But what we have because of the mercy and grace of God will be far better than anything we've experienced in this life. He gave us His best. Can't we give Him our best? Can't we try to do our best to say thank You for Your blessings? And to remember, we need the Lord more than anything else in this Word. And this Word tells us how to conduct ourselves, to walk in fellowship with Him each day. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. Let's represent Him well throughout this challenge that we're facing right now. Let's honor Him with the way we live our lives. Let's bring glory to His name by letting our light shine before men, not before the church, but before men, that others may see our good works and glorify our Father, which is there. And let's be salt. Let's have an influence on those around about us for good, to the glory of God. May God bless you, is our prayer.